Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. We're streaming to you from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Taylor Tabernacle, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. We are so glad you decided to join us this morning, whether in person or on Facebook or YouTube. We are excited this morning. It is Communion Sunday. It is Communion Sunday. It is the time we remember the sacrifice our Lord and Savior made for us. Amen. Hey, if you've been joining us for the last month, Pastor has been feeding us a feast on communion, what it means, what it stands for, and how we need to prepare for communion. We shouldn't give God just anything, any old kind of way, but we should come to Him prepared. Amen. Amen. We bless the Lord this morning. We lift Him up. What a beautiful Sunday morning it is. We just thank the Lord that He allowed us to see another day. He allowed us to draw a breath, and we're able to praise His holy and righteous name. And I don't know about you, I'm just happy that He allowed me one more opportunity to remember the sacrifice made for me. Amen. Oh, bless His holy and righteous name this morning. Come on, let's shake off the week's cobwebs and problems and trials and tribulations, because they're going to be there when we step out the door in about an hour. But hallelujah, bless His holy name this morning. Let's lift Him up this morning. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name this morning. Father, You've been so good. You've been so good. Hallelujah. You've been better to me than I deserve, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You for keeping me, Lord, another 30 days. I bless Your name this morning, God. I lift You up this morning, God. I exalt Your name this morning, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, God, that You chose us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. This morning, our scripture is going to come from our deaconess, Helena White. Following that will be our confession of faith from our deaconess. Why can't I think of her name? Oh, my goodness. Lillian Jones. I'm so sorry. Confession of faith. Our sister, our deaconess, Lillian Jones. And the prayer of consecration over our table will be our deacon, Tyrone Davis. And following that, the next voice will be that of our pastor, Elder Jonathan Ford. Amen. If you would stand to your feet.
Amen. For I received from the Lord, which I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. I have read 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 34. Amen.
most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and by what we have done, and by what we have not left, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Good morning, church. We just all bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you in unity and reverence, Lord God, thanking you for the gift of communion and the bond that we share in faith, Lord God. As we take communion this morning, Lord, we just want to recommit our lives to you, Lord God. Recommit our hearts to you, Lord God. Recommit our thoughts, Lord God. Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning, Lord God. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning and God bless you. Welcome to the Tabernacle. I want to say this. We're just going to switch things around a little this Sunday, and we're actually going to take communion at the end of the sermon, okay? So if I can have your attention, hopefully you haven't opened your sacraments. We okay? No one's open theirs, right? As long as you keep it closed, we're in good shape. But if you have opened it, get a new one, because we don't want it to spill or anything like that. Everybody in good shape? Okay. And just keep them handy. When we get to the conclusion of the sermon, then we'll take communion. Fair enough? Okay. Well, good, good. Well, look, let's jump right into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Mark, the 12th chapter. We're going to look at a passage, verses 28 to and including verse 34. Just six verses, Mark 12:28, and then we're also going to add to the witness out of the New Testament, 1 John 4:20, okay? So if you can get those passages, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. You may have a different translation, but follow along. And as you get those, I am going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Then after that, we'll get you off of your feet. Amen? Fair enough? Mark 12:28, 1 John 4:20. Amen? So Mark 12:28, if you're there, you'll see these words. It says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, perceiving that Jesus had answered the Sadducees well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him and said, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Right? It's a package deal. You see it? So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all of the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices." Right? "Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" He said, "You're right there." "But after that, no one dared to question him any more." Amen. Let's look at the witness quickly. 1 John 4:20. "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother," right? Look at this and say, the pastor did not say this. I didn't say, I don't want to hear no rumors coming back to me saying my pastor called me a liar. I didn't. If this applies to you, listen, God is calling you a liar. Right? Just don't get it twisted. If anyone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Right? 21. "This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God," if you got your own Bible, underline it, right? If you got a church Bible, don't underline it. But if you got your own Bible, underline it. "He that loves God," this is the whole sermon right here, "must love his brother also." Look at somebody tell me, it's a package deal. You can't have one without the other. That's they only work together. Are you with me? Say, "Pastor, I got the sermon. Pastor, bring out the grape juice. I'm down the road. Pastor, there it is. That's it right there." Listen, this is the commandment we have from him, capital H, God, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Because your word gives light to our pathway. Your word brings illumination both to the heart and to the mind. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning for being with us. We thank you for being in us. And we thank you for the work that you do in the life of the believer. And that you cause us to, in all our getting, to get an understanding of your word. Thank you for the truths hidden in your word. Thank you for the precious promises that are guarded securely in the passages of the sacred canon. Cause them to be revealed in our heart. Cause them to be lived out in our lives for all the world to see. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. So, in this teaching and preaching on communion, we have talked about your conduct at communion. We've talked about your consecration for communion. And we've also talked about the consequences of communion. And today, this last sermon, this last installment on this series, I want to talk from the subject, the last step to completing communion. Okay? The last step, we talked about your conduct, that's a step. We talked about your consecration, that's a step. We talked about the consequences of, that's a step. But there's one final step that must be taken in order for you to say, I've had communion. Okay? Are you with me? So we've been started the new year. We're in Mark 11 through 12. Mark 11, 27 had this conversation. It was the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And they all came trying to attack and entrap Jesus by asking him, by what authority do you do these things? And they were referring to what we had preached previously, that Jesus had come during the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the tabernacle, and he had turned over all the money tables. Any and everybody who was selling in that part of the temple compound, Jesus walked in and turned their tables upside down. All the money went out on the floor. Not only that, to compound his impact, he then also stopped all of the Levites and priests from running back and forth with the temple sacrifices. He shut the whole thing down. So in Mark 11, 27, they came to Jesus and said, by what authority do you do these things? That were the chief priests, the scribes, all of the elders out of the Sanhedrin body came and began to challenge him. Mark 12, 13, that in Mark 12, 13, it was the Pharisees and the Herodians. They came against Jesus and asked him this: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They were trying to trick him into saying something that would cause him to be in violation with Roman rule. Because either way he go, he's a dead. If he say don't pay Caesar, the Romans are going to arrest him, right? If he says pay Caesar, then they were like, oh, well, you don't love God then, right? They're coming, the Pharisees, Herodians, they're coming again. Then Mark 12, 18, this is what we worked out last Sunday. It was the group called the Sadducees. They came against him and they tried to get him with this question. In the resurrections, whose wife will she be? And I pointed out last Sunday, they asked a question about the resurrection and they didn't even believe in the resurrection. But they were so intent on trying to trap Jesus and get back at him for what he did, they were willing to try anything. And all of it, they were trying to do publicly so that they could embarrass him. You guys with me? If you're awake, say, Pastor, I'm awoke. I'm not as sleepy as I look. I'm actually up and listening to you. So all of this, one right after another, scribes and Pharisees, the scribes, the elders, the Pharisees, right after that. Then it's like rapid fire, one right after another. As soon as one group finished, they failed, another one jumped right in. And so you had all of these various groups of peoples asking questions and trying to attack Jesus, one right after another. So the question is for my church, have you ever experienced a similar situation? Have you ever faced attack first from your family, only to then go to work and face attack from your coworkers and colleagues, only to make it to the weekends and find your friend also in opposition against you? Anybody ever experienced that? Seems like I'm in one argument, I leave that, and I get in another. Then what in the world is going on, right? If you know what that is, then you have some sense of what Jesus must have been experiencing. Are you with me? Good. Now here we are. Now we're into the sermon. Mark 12, 28. Here it is. He says, one of the scribes, he said, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them well. That means he's been listening to this ongoing attack the whole morning. Listen to the scribes and elders attack him. Listen to the Pharisees and the Herodians trying to trap him. Listen to the Sadducees talking about the... And he's just been a bystander listening. And then he comes. I want you to notice something different. And I thank God for Mark for pointing this out. Notice the first thing, that this person is by himself. He's not a group attacking Jesus. Everyone else, it was a group thing. They were all piled in it together. But this guy kind of apart. He stands apart and he says, he asked him a question. He says this. He said, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the first or the greatest commandment of all? Verse 29, Jesus answered him, said, the first of all commandments is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He starts out his answer by making a statement of definitive truth. He said, before you get into the commandments of God, you've got to understand the power and purpose of God. He said, the Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Right? But what he's saying, Israel, our God is the one true God. Right? There is no other, the one and only true God. There is no other God greater than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel is the only true God. Right? Can I get an amen? And look, I got a witness, right? Here's the witness, Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. He says, I am the first and the last, and besides me, there is no God. Are you with me? So look, he didn't ask you and I to verify. To prove that he's God, he said the only one that can verify God is God himself. So he went on the record that there's no other God besides him. Right? So there it is. Now it gets down to the answer. He says this. Here's your answer. Here's your answer, scribe. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Right? He said, love God with everything you have. Right? Put your all into loving God. Right? Can I get a witness? That's what he said. Put your all into it. Taken from Deuteronomy 12:16, Jesus uses God's own word from the Pentateuch. Remember, this guy is a scribe, so he's a master of the law, so he uses the law to answer the question. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Right? So he answered the question right from the law from which he was a master student. Then he goes on. And verse 31 says, and he says, the second is like it. Right? The second is, so he did, the guy asked for one, but Jesus gave him what? Two. Gives them two. Why? Because they go what? They go, good. Now you're awake. Now you're getting that crust out your eye. Now you're there. Here it is. Jesus immediately adds a second command. Love thy neighbor as yourself. And in so doing, he makes it equally as important as the first commandment. Right? In his answer, Jesus connected the vertical love God, that's us going up, right? He connected that with the horizontal, the love of others and our neighbors, right? Thus forming a cross. And if you got it, say, I got it. Good, good. I don't have to go no further then, right? Former, to claim to love God while not loving others is a contradiction. The two must go together, right? We read it in the witness, 1 John 4:21. This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Right? Right, here we go. 32 and 33, we're almost there. So the scribe answered, the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher." See, that's a good answer. "You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he." He said, "Jesus, you got your finger right on it, man." And he said, "To love him with all of the heart, the understanding, with all the soul, with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself." So he confronts, he says, "Jesus, you put your finger right on it," right? Now watch this. Just like Jesus answered by adding one more, so the scribe answers by adding an addendum to his answer also. Look what he said. He said to love one neighbor as himself. He said to do this is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see that? Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifices, and the knowledge of God more than offerings." Get this. This is, here it is. Mere religious observance is worthless. Right? Let me see if I say it again, if the whole church say amen. I'm going to say it twice and see what happens. Mere religious observance is worthless. Let me see if I can drive it home. Say it this way. Taking communion is worthless. Pastor, not only are you crazy, now you're driving me crazy. You done spent the whole month talking about communion, consecration, conduct, and now you're telling me taking communion is worthless? Hear me out. Conforming to external religious regulation and practices without love will not get you closer to God, nor will it get you into heaven. Are you with me? This is the whole sermon. This is it. This is the big finale. Mere religious observance is worthless. Conforming to external religious regulations and practices with the absence of love will not get you closer to God, nor will it get you into heaven. I'm working that because there are countless people who believe that if I go to church, I go to heaven. There are countless people who believe if I pay my tithes, I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not making this stuff up. Countless people believe that if I keep communion, I'm going to heaven. I always make people take the baptism class because a lot of people believe that if I get baptized, Are you guys hearing me? We got to straighten the matter out. That's not the case. Listen to Jesus. Here it is. We're finished now. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, are you with me? He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Jesus acknowledged the scribe's insight regarding the importance of love. Yet, by stating that he was not far from the kingdom of God, he emphasized or pointed out that he was not yet in the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Jesus said what? You're almost there. Are you following what I'm saying? Jesus was trying to tell, here it is, the scribe knew what to do, but the last step was for him to actually do it. All right, sometimes the second time works better. Let's just try it. The scribe knew what to do because he told Jesus. But the last step was for him to actually do it. Right? Look at somebody and say, just do it. Just do what? Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Right? Because that is the last step to completing communion. If you take communion this Sunday, and you take the bread, and you take the juice, and we have a closing prayer, and we consecrate ourselves again under Christ Jesus, and matter of fact, don't even leave here, but after communion, fail to demonstrate the love of God, what you have just done is worthless. You would have been better served staying home in your pajamas in bed. You check me if I'm not in the Word of God. Jesus told the scribe, you've answered wisely. Here it is. He said, this guy, he said, I finally found a guy who gets it. All of the other guys were trying to make it about rules and regulations. Should we pay taxes or not? Whose wife will she be? What's the rule or the regulation regarding left or right match? They were trying to make it about all of this other stuff, all of this formality, all of this procedural stuff. But down in their heart, they never had the love of God. So their heart was wicked and not towards God. That's why Jesus said, on the outside, you look white as sepulchres, but on the inside, you are full of dead men's bones. Why? Because the love of God is not in you. Look at somebody and say, the love of God. Yeah, I need it in me. Here it is, I'm finished. Get this. It's not enough to consecrate yourself for communion. It's not enough to monitor your conduct during communion. Nor is it enough to understand the consequences of communion if you don't complete the communion service. It won't matter if you don't take the final step, if you don't go the last yard. Here it is. Look at somebody and say, you got one more step. The bread is good. The wine is good. But you got one more step. Love your God with everything you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. You must love God and love your neighbor before communion. Love God. Love your neighbor during communion. Love God and love your neighbor after communion. We must put the agape love of God on full display 24 hours every day, 7 days,
every week, 366 days, leap year, put the love of God on display. It's the only way to complete communion. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how often you do it. If the love of God is not in you, somebody shout yes. What I'm trying to tell my church, communion is not once a month, twice a quarter, three times a year. Somebody say, Barb, God. Somebody been listening to the pastor. But rather, communion is every day of my life. Every morning I wake up, I got another chance to love God and love my neighbor. I got another chance to put the agape love of God on full display. Here it is. Watch me tie. And when you do that, Paul said, you proclaim the Lord's death. This is where I wish I had my real church. Until he comes, they don't need to come to our church to see you take communion. All they got to do is be a recipient of the love of God out of your life. That's when they'll know something has happened. Something is different. And you'll be able to tell them it's the love of God. It's love for my neighbor. Somebody shout yes. Look at somebody and tell them it's time for communion. Yeah, now it's time for communion. Because since the last time I've been loving God, since the last time I've been loving my neighbor, since the last time I've been loving myself, and I'm ready to take the last step. I'm ready for the bread. I'm ready for the wine. Because God has poured out his love into my heart. Somebody shout yes. So whether it's Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, Friday or Saturday, every day is a good day to celebrate communion as long as I share the love of God. I'm having communion, whether by myself or in the church. It's time for communion. It's time for communion. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Touch three people and tell them it's time for communion. Come on, let's time. It's time. Come on, get them told it's time. It's time. It's time. Come on, Pastor, bring the bread. Come on, Pastor, bring the wine. It's time for, woo! It's time. Yes, I'm finally ready. I finally got it. It's time. It's time. Come on, church. Everybody, it's time. Stand on your feet. Get your sacraments in your hand. Yes. Yes. Now I'm ready. Now I'm prepared. I know what it means. I know what it did. It's time to have yes. 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 Went out of the table. Yes. 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 Yes again. Lift up his bread. Yes. 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 I finally got it, boy. Sister Helena, I finally understand the importance of communion. He said, this is my body given for you. Eat ye all of it. He said, this is my blood shed for you, representing the new agreement between you and God. Drink ye all of it. Now, we can praise God because we finally took communion seriously. Let everybody in the house give God some kind of praise. Woo! Yes. Yes. It's time. It's time to celebrate communion. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, Lord. I'm so glad I came to church so that I could take woo! Yeah. I've been saved most of my life, but no one ever told me I had to take communion seriously. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Yes. If I was you, I would give the Lord a praise. Yes, I would. Yes. Yes. Yes, I would. I'm finally ready to take communion. I'm finally ready to take the last step. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm finally ready for the bread. I'm finally ready for his blood. I will love the Lord my God. I will love my neighbor as myself. It's time for communion. Yes, he's forgiven me of my sins. He's filled me with his precious Holy Ghost. He's put his word in my heart. And I'm finally ready. Yes, yes, yes again. Woo! Oh my God. So if you're listening today, accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Receive him into your heart. Make him Lord over your life. And then prepare yourself to take communion. Because if you fail to love God, or if you fail to love your neighbor, and especially those that are of like precious faith. Jesus told me to tell you, you're not quite in. I know you're coming regular now. I know you're giving regular now. I know you done signed up for a couple ministries now. And all of that stuff is good. But it won't get you into heaven. The rich young ruler says to Jesus, good master, good rabbi, tell me what I must do to inherit eternal life. He just put it point blank. Jesus, what I got to do to get in? Jesus said, keep all of the commandments of which these two are in there. The young master, the young boy said, Jesus, I've kept all of them from my youth. Right? Now, you and I both know that he was, right? God called him that, not me. Don't say the pastor said it. Jesus said, well, if you've done that, he said, there's only one thing you lack. Last thing. He said, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And here's the clincher. He said, follow me. Wherever I go, when I turn around, I want to see you behind me. He said, if you do that, so you'll inherit eternal life. You know the story. The Bible said the young man dropped his head. Slowly but surely he turned around. And the Bible said he walked away. Because he had great riches. And he couldn't do what God asked them to do. Now, I'm going to let you in on something. I don't want you to go out here shouting and think that's it. He couldn't do what God asked him to do, what Jesus asked him to do. Listen, and neither can you. You and I are unable to love God with everything. If we could do it, we would have all
already done it.
The Bible said there has only been one sinless man found with no guile in his mouth. His name is Jesus. Abraham couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Isaac and Jacob couldn't do it. Wait. Pastor, you said that's the last step. You didn't say it was an impossible step. No, I didn't. I said it was the last step. Now watch this. Watch me empty the church. Everybody in here is going to leave when I say this. Because none of us have loved our neighbor as ourselves. Guilty as charged. So, Pastor, what do I... You got me in a dilemma. It can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. In your flesh, you can't love it. Why? Because of sin, our fallen nature. Somewhere along the love game, we're going to what? Revert back to ourselves. But that's why he gives us the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows how to love God. And every day he teaches us. He shows us a little bit more. This is how you love him with all your heart. And next month he told you, this is how you love him with all your soul. Then a little later in life, he said, look, I'm going to teach you something this week. What's that? I'm going to show you how to love him with all your strength. Listen, your pastor can't teach you that. Your girlfriends and the boys, they can't teach you that. Only God can show you how to love God. He's the only one. So is it impossible? No. It is only possible through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But when we accept Him, we receive the precious gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, wait a minute, you must have missed Bible study. Did you not know that your body is the temple and dwelling place of the Lord Most? He lives within us. And he helps us keep the commandments. That's how you do it. You don't do it by dancing. You don't do it by clapping. You do it every morning by starting your prayer out and saying, Lord, you're the only true God. You're the only one that can help me today love you the way you should be loved. God, you're the only one capable of helping me to love my neighbor as myself. Without you, I cannot do it. That's why I close out the sermon by saying, if you've never accepted Jesus, you've never made that step of faith, whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're watching online, make it today. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the day you hear my voice, can I help you with it? He's saying, when it comes to God, don't play hard to get. Listen, because you might not get them at all. Why preach this message, Pastor? Because I believe God is calling someone for salvation. I believe God is extending an invitation to somebody to join him at the Lord's table. He's saying, come. You're finally ready to take communion. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I came down this Sunday for you. Because you're finally ready to take communion. So if you're here in the sanctuary, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm asking you to come forward for salvation. Not for healing in your body, not for a financial breakthrough, not for a miracle. Say, Pastor, I'm coming because I want to receive Christ into my life. If you're here, would you come? Barb and Ty, just stand on either side of the tables. Be servants for Christ. You're watching us and you're live streaming. And today is your day. Except, yep, I hear him. I hear the Lord inviting me to the communion table. I'm going to invite you to come. I want you to come by reaching out online. You can do it in the chat. You can do it via email. Contact the ministry. Say, Pastor, I heard the message this morning. And I believe Christ is calling me to keep communion. If you're here in the sanctuary, I invite you to come now. Not out of compulsion, not of come because you finally can hear his voice. Come and give your life to Christ wherever you are. Today, my spiritual birthday, God called me. He invited me to communion, and I came like I am. Are you here? Are you here wherever you are? I want you to come. I want you to come because I believe Christ is calling you. At the 8:30 prayer this morning, that's what I prayed. I said, God, send sinners into the house. Send people in to be saved, to give their life to Christ. Come on, where my real church at? Where my real? The Bible said they rejoice more over the one than they do over the 99. He's inviting them to communion, y'all. He's inviting them to supper at the Lord's table. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. This is why we came. This is why we labored to get out here. Why? The invitation of the Lord has been handed out. Yeah. Prepare the way. Make straight the path of the Lord. Why? Because thy Redeemer liveth. Yeah, he's inviting. Is there another one? If you're here this Sunday and you've never accepted Christ, you never accepted him into your life today, won't you come? Won't you make today that day? Won't you make today your spiritual birthday and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. I'm ready. I'm ready. Lord, I want to take communion. Show me how to love you. Show me how to love my, show me how to get rid of all of this hate in my heart. Show me how to empty myself out and pour out the love of God. Lord, I want to take communion. I may never get this chance again. I don't know when the pastor called for communion. But I'm here today. I'm in the house of God today. And I hear you calling me, come to the table of the Lord. Yes. 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 Come on, everybody, praying everywhere. Come on, Taylor, everybody pray. Everybody pray. Because just like they have come to Christ, so the enemy is going to try to draw them away from Christ. And if we don't start praying for them in the name of Jesus, not only for them to be saved, but to be kept by the power of God, to be upheld by his everlasting mercy, get back, devil. They belong unto the Lord our God. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. And they took the time. And they prayed for me. When my enemies and my foes came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Today, he prepareth a table. What table? The Lord's table. The communion table. in the presence of my enemies. Yes. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for these precious souls that have come. Thank you for this young man. Thank you for this young woman coming and giving their lives to you. Thank you for reclaiming backsliders. Thank you for calling those the pre-elect of God, telling them today is your spiritual birthday. Yes, today we're going to have communion. Today, 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 today. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we adore you. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, put our hands together. Come on, lend me every hand. Thanks be unto the Lord our God. Yes, this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. God did it. The Lord did it. And today we are glad. Oh, bless his name. His name, his name, his name forever. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Yes. Today my life starts anew with Christ. Today I am dead to my sins and trespasses. And today I am a new creation. The Bible said all things have passed away. And I have become new in Christ Jesus. And I'm so glad. Yes. God, thank you for leading me to a church where I can find help. Someone to walk it out with me. Somebody to take the steps with me. So that when I come to the communion table, I won't have to come alone. That's the value of your presence here to help others come to Christ. Taylor, you've been a great audience. Thank you for your listening ear. Thank you for your receptive heart. May the word of God find a resting place down in your soul. Service into the hands of Deaconess Barr.
Bless his name this morning. Bless his name. Bless his name this morning. Amen. 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 The takeaway is a sermon on love. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, that spoke to my spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Bless your name this morning, Lord. Yes, bless your name this morning, God. Amen, amen, amen. It's offering time in the tabernacle. Amen, amen. We're as excited about the sermon and we're as excited about offering as we are about the sermon. Amen. Our deaconess, Kimala Lyons, is going to come and lead us in offering. Following that, our deaconess, Keisha Curitan, will be coming to bring us the announcements. Amen. Following that will be our pastor for benediction.
Good morning. Amen. Praise God. It is offering time. Yes. All right, so I am looking for, okay, here we go. All right, so at this time we will gather to worship through giving. This morning you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and further instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com, giving and following the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order. Please do not send cash. Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Also by Venmo at Taylor PayPal.me/tabernacle-6309 and Cash App $Taylor Tabernacle. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for our tithes and offerings and one for our pastor. Please, let's give praise for our pastor. Yes, yes. Pastor, we can give to him. And also, too, it is our pastor's birthday month. He celebrates it the entire month. Let's give a shout for our pastor. So if you want to bless our pastor, especially this month for his birthday and for all the great work that he's been doing, he's just a great man of God. We can bless him by three ways. You can also come in and also put in the basket. But our other ways are Cash App, $PastorJonathanFord. Also by Venmo, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for the continued support of our ministry. Thank you. We're now going to turn the service in the hands of our deaconess, Sister Keisha.
Thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue by Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we'll add you to the list. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we ask you to please stay home. So here are the announcements this month. Wednesday, February 7th, we'll have our Black History presentation, which is virtual at 7 p.m. And I know there was a flyer. I don't see it out there, but hopefully it's on the screen. But there's a Zoom link, so and that will go out. We're not meeting this week on Google Meets. We're meeting on Zoom, and so and that link will go out to everyone. On Sunday, February 11th, we'll be having our brothers from Kappa Alpha Psi, and they'll be joining us for worship. On Wednesday, February 14th, is our special Ash Wednesday service, which will also be virtual, and it will be followed by a special Valentine's Day treat from Deacon Todd and Sister Cassandra McCoy, and that will be by Google Meets. And then for this Lent season, I don't know if we need a drum roll here, but for this Lent season, we'll be giving up red meat and desserts. So from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, so our pastor has asked us corporately, so this is what we're giving up as a congregation, red meat and desserts. And this is something our youth can do, too. Sometimes they say, I'm a child. I can't. Yes, you can participate in this as well. Amen. On Sunday, February 24th, join us for our Black History presentation. And they'll be coming. It's our famous Camp Hill Army Base, which is located in Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. And the contributions of Black soldiers. So this presentation will be given by Lisa Marlowe and will take place at 11:30 a.m. in our main sanctuary. And Wednesday, February 21st, we'll be back to our Wednesday night's prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock by Google Meet. And then Sunday school from 8:30 to 9, also by Google Meet. And this is every second through fifth Sundays. And then our youth, remember Pastor's YLE Challenge. Amen. So those are your announcements for your hearing.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Sister Keisha. Thanks, Sister Kim, for everything. If anyone is in need of a flyer, Sister Keisha was referring to it. We have some extra if you want to have that Zoom link. But she did tell us we're not going to be on Google Meets. We're going to be on Zoom. And what a presentation she's going to give. I'm excited about it. So those are here if you need to have that. for this coming Wednesday. And then on next Wednesday, we will be back on Zoom, but that'll be our, it's Ash Wednesday, it'll be our Lent service to begin the Lent season. Looking forward to Deacon Todd, Sister Cassandra. I'm actually so excited about that. I told Jermaine we're not going out for Valentine's Day. We are listening, we Zoom in it, we're getting on Google, we having meat, we having Lent, and then we're having our Valentine's Day with Todd and Cassandra. I'm looking forward to it. Y'all joke is not. I'm not. Me and Jermaine, we're going to have popcorn, sitting, eating. But no, the Lord bless you and keep you. Shall we all stand? Thank you so much for your great faithfulness. Thank you so much for all that has been done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Today has been a great day. Amen. Now unto him who alone is able to present us faultless before our heavenly Father and the host of angels, the only one who can purify and justify us before God himself. Lord Jesus, keep us, uphold us, keep us in the center of your hand and in your will, that we might go forward each and every day and love God and love our neighbor. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Taylor.